So we are John and Tabitha Grunewald and our five kids. Actually, four of them are here. One's in the nursery. Eliza, Olivia, Aiden, Ansley, and Ella's in the nursery. And we are so excited to be with you. Most of the time, we have to explain where Togo is, kind of tell you about it. But actually, you are one of the few that has a missionary that's already in Togo, a Togolese national, which is exciting. It's exciting to see the Togolese coming to the United States and being missionaries to go back, which is, for us, very, very exciting. But we are part of a healthcare ministry with ABWE where we use healthcare as a tool to spread the gospel and to plant churches. So it's exciting for us to use the talents and the abilities that God has given us to further his gospel. We've actually been there for two times previously, 2005-2007 and then 2012-2014. So in some ways, we kind of think of ourselves as second termers, but we're going back career. So we'll spend 4 out of 5 years in Togo. And we're excited about what God has for us. And we have our plans, of course, and God also has his plans. And we're excited about the things that maybe we don't even fully expect or look forward to, but that God is doing great things. One of the last times we were there, our oldest two, Eliza and Olivia, got to go to one of the Christian schools that we have there, training Togolese, which is a wonderful ministry because even the Muslims send their kids to our Christian schools for education, and they take the gospel back to their parents, which is fun and exciting. While we were there, the girls learned a couple different languages. As you probably know, in Togo, they have about 27 different tribal languages, and French is their official language. So the girls got to learn a song in Ewe. Actually, it's a song that's familiar to most of us, and that's God is so good. God is truly good. But they learned it in English, but then they also know it in French and Ewe, one of the tribal languages. So they're going to come in just a moment, and they're going to sing for you. And then we're going to show our video, which is a 4-minute video showing our family and ministry. As you're probably familiar with Togo, but this is kind of our little niche of Togo and just the different ministries that God has allowed us to be involved in. And then I'm going to have my wife come, and she's going to give her testimony of what God is doing in her heart as a wife and the mother, which is, you know, taking our kids to Africa is a big, daunting thing. So a lot of times people are encouraged as well as challenged by the wife and mother's perspective of missions. So kids, if you'll come and sing, please.
Do a treble, do a the cross, and I will go where there are no easy roads. Leave the comfort that I know. I will go and let this journey be my home. I will go.
Tonight, and it's just neat. We do a lot of traveling, and we're in a lot of churches, but it's always just such a blessing to fellowship with the body of Christ. Even though we've never met, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and so that's just always an encouragement, because it's sometimes intimidating to come to a place where you don't know anybody, but it's sweet, the fellowship that we have, because we're all believers. But I was raised in a Christian home. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins, and the best a little child can. And then I grew up. My father was a chaplain in the Army, and so we traveled a lot. And then when he got out of the Army, we settled in Goldsboro, and so we went to Faith Church in Goldsboro. But as a young teenager, I think I was in the 9th grade, I really started to doubt my salvation. I remember thinking, can a child that young understand? Did I know what I was doing? And so one of our teachers was my counselor that week at camp, and she took me to the Bible. And she showed me 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the Lord used that verse to reassure me that, yes, I was saved. And a child can confess and put their trust in Jesus. And that's what I had done. So I was, I think I had those doubts of, is my salvation based on my involvement in the youth group or choir or teen visitation? But that verse reassured me that it's not based on any of those things, but instead it's based on the completed work of Christ. And so after high school, I went to Pensacola Christian College and studied nursing because I felt the Lord calling me to be a nurse. And between our junior and senior year of college, several of us were talking and we said, we're going to graduate soon. Let's do something kind of fun before we had to work and be adults. And it was probably kind of self-seeking, but we said, let's go on a missions trip. So we got together a small team, and I had never heard of Togo, but I said, sure, let's go. And I very vividly remember walking off the plane onto the tarmac and was just amazed at the sights and the sounds and the smells. And 3.5 weeks later, when I left, I remember thinking, I'll be back. just the Lord did something in my heart. John was on that team, actually. We were just good friends at the time. But the Lord really placed a love for Togo in each of our hearts. Then later we graduated and started dating and were married, and then the Lord took us back to Togo a couple different times. But I get a lot of questions, I think, as the mom, you know, in this family, in this kind of situation, and people see the video and they think, is she really, you know, interested in this, or is she just following her husband? You know, what's the deal with this lady taking her five blonde-headed, blue, green-eyed kids to Africa? And so I like to tell people that, yes, I'm very excited to go as well. And we don't have time to tell that story, but the Lord, again, worked very individually in our hearts to call us back, to go back. Some people call it career, or to go back long-term is what we're doing now. And one of the questions I often get is, why in the world? You know, why in the world would you go that? Why would you leave your careers here? Why would you leave family and grandparents and the comforts of America? And I tell people, I'm not an adventurous kind of girl. I don't like camping. I don't like bugs. I like American comforts. I like our padded pews that we have in church and air condition. I like getting my groceries from, you know, a grocery store where everything's nice and neat and clean. So I'm not an adventurous kind of girl, but to me that reassures me that this is something that God has placed in my heart, because there's nothing in my nature that would want to do this, to travel to churches every week and, you know, drive hours and hours on end in the car with five kids and, you know, things like that. And that's something I'm real excited about, other than the fact that God has put that in my heart and in John's heart. But the question I get is, why? You know, why in the world would you do this? Just stay here in America, serve in your local church, be involved here. So I like to answer that question of why in the world would you go with this story. Our first time in Togo, John and I were newly married. I want to say we were 20, maybe 23 at the time, 24. But the Lord gave us a really neat opportunity to do a Bible study in one of the sister ministries of the hospital. And that's a blind boarding school for blind children. As in many third world countries, if a child has a disability or a handicap, they're considered a burden to the family. They're an extra expense. They can't work and contribute to the family. So many times these children are cast out on the street to fend for themselves, and sometimes to have horrible, horrible lives just trying to survive. Well, ABWE, our mission, back in the 70s, started a boarding school. And so they teach the kids, you know, normal subjects, science and math and history. They teach them how to read and write in Braille. They teach them, most importantly, the Bible. So many, many children over the years have come to a saving knowledge of Christ through this ministry. And they also teach them a skill, whether that's to make chalk or to weave baskets. They taught one class how to raise pigs. So from the kids' dorm, there were ropes that would lead out to the pig pen. So the kids would feed the pigs and water the pigs. And then once the pigs were grown, they could sell them. And so that way, when they graduate from this boarding school, they have a skill that they can work to make money. And maybe that's to contribute back to their family or just to provide for themselves. But it's a really neat ministry. But every week, John and I would drive. It was in another village. We would drive about 30 minutes. And I had a Bible study with four or five of the blind girls. And the Togolese don't know their birthdays. Birthdays aren't a big deal over there. There's no party, no presents. So they don't ever know how old exactly they are. But I would guess these girls were probably between the ages of 9 and 12, maybe 13, some of the older ones. But every week we would go and I would do a lesson. And I had done, you know, some of the old Bible stories. And I always tell people it's kind of a pastor's dream or a teacher's dream to be able to go and share stories with people that have never heard. I remember telling them the story of Esther and them sitting on the edges of their seats. And I would tell them a little bit one week, and then we'd, you know, I kind of made it last over several weeks, and they would beg me each week, oh, tell us the rest of the story. But I always say, no, you have to come back next week and we'll hear more. But it was just thrilling to be able to share the Bible with people that have never heard. But several weeks I had done lessons on some of the characteristics of God, that God's loving and that he's kind and holy and just. Well, that particular week, we were doing a lesson on the fact that God's omniscient, that he knows everything. And in my notes, and you know, in preparing for the lesson, I had written down the verse that tells us that God knows the number of stars in the sky. And I was teaching and speaking, and the girls, you know, as blind people often do, they were just kind of listening with their heads down. And I shared that verse, and I realized, oh, that doesn't mean anything to these little girls. They've never seen the stars in the sky. So that verse doesn't equate, you know, in their hearts and minds how much God knows. They've never seen the vastness of the galaxies. And I think it was just the Holy Spirit reminding me of the verse in Matthew that tells us that he knows the number of hairs on our heads. And as soon as I shared that verse, all at once they lifted their faces and you just saw that light go across their face and they started feeling their hair. and you saw it kind of register. These little girls, you know, that nobody wanted, that nobody cared about or loved, I was able to tell them that there is somebody that loves you and that wants you and died for you, that he sent a son to die for you. And I've often wondered since, you know, why the Lord put that verse in the Bible. It seems kind of a silly verse, that he knows the number of hairs on our head. I mean, that number is constantly changing, and yet he knows that. But I've often wondered if it was for those little girls or you know, people that aren't able to see, if he gave them that verse so that they would understand how much he knows about them, and so much more, how much he loves them. Well, fast forward about 8 years, we are back in Togo doing another two-year term, and I had the three big kids, and I was homeschooling and teaching them that morning, and I heard a knock on the screen door. Well, Togo's a very relational culture. You know, people stop by just to say hi for no reason other than just to greet you and to greet your family. And so I was kind of, you know, a little frustrated. I had our lessons we needed to get done. I was kind of in a hurry, but, you know, I was aggravated, honestly, by another interruption. But I got up and I went to the door, and on the other side of the screen was our neighbor, Susanna, who was another missionary, and she had a Togolese lady with her. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at Susanna saying, you know, hurry up, I got stuff I need to do. And so she started saying, no, I met this lady, I wanted to come introduce you to her. I was like, okay, Susanna. And so, again, it's a very relational culture, and there's greetings that you have to go through. It's kind of this little song and dance, sing, you know, chanting back and forth. So, you know, once Susanna stopped talking, I, you know, really wasn't looking at the lady very much, but I turned and I started to say those greetings. And as I started to speak and started to look at her a little bit more, I see her lift her head, and she's blind. And as I'm speaking, she says, I know that voice. And she said, that's the voice that taught me about God. That's the voice that told me that God loves me. And when I looked at her, it was one of my girls from the Bible study 8 years before. And I had the same reaction. I mean, you could have knocked me over at that moment. I was incredibly humbled. And I often wonder, Susanna never brought anybody before like that. I don't ever think she did after. I don't even remember why she really brought her by that day, other than the fact that I think God orchestrated that meeting. Because like I said, she didn't live, our Bible study was in a village half an hour away. She didn't live close to the hospital, but she was sick and had lost a lot of weight and things, so I didn't initially recognize her. But I really think that God orchestrated that moment so that I could have an answer to that question of why we would go back, why we would go through this process of traveling and raising support and leaving our families. When I lay in bed at night and the devil puts those thoughts in my mind, Tabitha, why are you doing this? I can go back to that moment and say, that's why I'm doing it. Because God can use ordinary people. And we always tell people, sometimes missionaries get put on a pedestal, and we don't like that. We say that we're ordinary people with an extraordinary God, that if any of us are willing to be obedient to his calling, he could do incredible things. And he can use us to share the love of God with people, whether that's here in Clayton, in your neighborhood, or at your workplace, or if it is across the ocean. God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things if we're just obedient.